Today I'd like to speak about sacrifice and the order of sacrifice. I want to begin by recounting that story of Israel having to go into Babylon for 70 years in captivity because they had failed to be obedient to God in many ways, including obeying their Sabbath year every 7 years. And they went into Babylon and came to a standstill. That enforced 70-year Sabbath rest made them feel out of place in a strange land. And then came the time for the Persian king Cyrus to send these exiles, 50,000 of them, back to Jerusalem in 538 BC. And there are parallels in this story in Israel's experiencing of a return and a reset of their place as God's people in the earth, his representatives, and the church experiencing, I believe, a coming return and reset in these days in which we live, about taking our place as being a witness that God is alive in the heavens. And it can be that through us in the earth today. Back then, for Israel, a man by the name of Zerubbabel was chosen to lead the exiles back. And when he did return to the Holy Land, he was announced as the governor of Judah. They sometimes referred to him as the Prince of Judah because he was from the lineage of David. And it speaks about it in Ezra chapter 1, about the king of Persia, Cyrus. And it says that in his first year, God spoke and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus so that he made a proclamation. He said, "The Lord God of heaven has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, in Judah. And whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord." The 70-year standstill experience of that judgment upon Israel was now going to be over. But it had led them to a sense of disorientation and discontinuity through all of that time. And it caused a radical break with the past for them. In Babylon, they were in virtual lockdown. They'd lost all sense of a future. And now they were heading home. But there was no home. They had gone. The temple and their city had been left in ruins. It's very hard for them just to be able to pick up from where they left off. There had to be a reset. You see, they'd lost all of their worship and ways of life as a nation amongst other nations, a standout nation representing God with the way they did their sacrifices and the way that they obeyed their commandments and lived in their tribes. And prior to their exile, they were organized as tribes of Israel. But this time, they're going back. And it was different because they were going to be gathered in families and clans because there were only remnants of some of the tribes left. And the only full tribe left was the Levites for the priesthood. So this move back for Israel to Jerusalem for the rebuilding became the transition from the religion of Israel to that of Judaism. It was a new thing for them. When they got back, the first major event for them on their return was when the time of the year came for them to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a happy feast. It was the feast of the yearly gathering of all the people together as families. It was like a huge picnic with sacrifices and offerings. And as for the rebuilding, they didn't start with the building of the temple or the city walls or the gates. They started with the very core of what God was calling for from them, the rebuilding of the altar of sacrifice. That was the first thing they had to attend to. Zerubbabel and his clan and the priests, they led in the rebuilding of the altar on the exact place where it had once stood. And they sacrificed burnt offerings upon it and voluntary or free will offerings. The Bible says that the foundation of the temple was not yet laid. See, that was next, and they had to wait. So this is spoken about in Ezra chapter 3, how they rebuilt the altar of God and sacrificed burnt offerings upon it and celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I believe that our experience as the church in this current worldwide pandemic of COVID-19 is a parallel in so many ways to the experience of God's people back then who had been in captivity. Life for them had suddenly come to a standstill, leaving them for a long time without the same kind of expectations and hopes and freedom and security of what used to be for them a normal life. And they were plunged into a sense of disorientation and discontinuity and, of course, a radical break with the past, a lifestyle. Now there was no temple worship for them when they went into captivity, like no church. And today, this sense of disorientation is invading the minds and hearts of many people all over the world as it goes through the distress of this moment in history. This world is going through a time of pain. It's going through a time of distress. This has never happened before. So getting back to Israel, then came time for Israel to be called to a reset of their past, because things would never be quite the same as they remembered from before in the old tribal system. They would have to do a reset for their new future. And I believe we're also being faced with this same challenge. God was calling for them to return to the place where he has always met with his people, the altar of sacrifice. So the first reset, build the altar. The rebuild of the altar. And that's what God is calling for from us, I believe. That's what our reset needs to be. The altar in our lives speaks of a life of sacrifice. And a life of sacrifice speaks of a continual launching of the future into the will and purpose of God. Now, why is this? And what is this sacrifice about? Well, a sacrifice involves giving up something now that will present to you something better in the future, whether it is spiritually or emotionally or materially. And you'd only do this if you valued what it is that you are sacrificing something now for that better something in the future. You'd have to really value it. In the natural world, there's lots of sacrifice going on. If there was no sacrifice of time and effort and study or discipline, there'd be no advancement or betterment of self, or character, or any real life outcomes. People would end up with an empty future. So people, whether they like it or not, do sacrifice because there is something better ahead by giving up something now that you can give up for the right reason. So God calls for sacrifice for our sakes so that we can reach the future that he's created for us and that he's created us for. He offers these sacrifices to us. And the greater the sacrifice, the greater the hopes, and the more blessed the future. But he has to make the offer to us. It's not us deciding, well, I'm going to make a whole lot of sacrifices. I'm just going to make life difficult for myself so that I can build a great future. No, you wait for the appropriate sacrifice that has to be made, for something to be put aside, for the logical and sensible reason for that thing that you value in the future. That's the way to approach it. So getting back to Israel, they used to be organized as the tribes of Israel. But in their reset, they came back to be gathered in families. And when that time came, when they got back into Jerusalem, that first event that they had was the observance of the Feast of Tabernacles. And that, as I said, was the celebration of their togetherness as God's family. And in our reset, I believe there is going to be a deeper understanding of our celebration of being one body in Christ like never before, as his family under the Father. They couldn't pick up from where they left off. They just had to have their reset. Now let's look at this burnt offering, because the offerings that Zerubbabel called for was the burnt offerings and the free will offerings on that altar. There were many offerings. There was the sin offering and peace offering and quite a few offerings. But the burnt offering and the free will offering had special meaning for them at that time, and it does for us too today in our time of reset, because the burnt offerings speak of total commitment of our future to the Lord. And the free will offering speaks of that thanksgiving and appreciation of what we have in the Lord, even when we've experienced loss and disappointment. It's at those times we can voluntarily give God thanksgiving in that situation. In everything, give thanks. That's a free will offering that brings about that supernatural, all things working together for good for us in that situation. God comes into that free will offering. So this heart of sacrifice that we're talking about in both of these sacrifices has to start at an individual level before it would become visible at a corporate level. But that is the rebuilding of the altar. But it's the burnt offering that I want to particularly focus on today. And there's a harsh reality in life that pain and suffering do define the world we live in, especially in these times we live in now. And the person who wants to alleviate suffering for those in the world around them and for themselves make the sacrifices necessary to do this. They become part of the answer to the pain and suffering we see in people today, because they are being there for one another. And being there for one another in their suffering is a sacrifice that grows bonds of love and trust and releases the supernatural power of Jesus in the fulfillment of that sacrifice. Jesus becomes the fulfillment of that sacrifice as we do it as unto the Lord. So if you looked at your situation right now, in what you're doing as being there for someone else, helping them through a time of sickness, caring for them, being a comfort for them in a time of disappointment or emotional pain, being there as a help for them in physical and helpful ways, in whatever it is, that is offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. But if people did this, if this spread, there would be less suffering in the world, because there would be more people who valued the virtue of self-sacrifice towards God and for one another. Now, the first mention of the burnt offering in the Bible was not in Moses' time of the priestly sacrifices. You'd think that it was just one of those sacrifices that was part of the Levitical sacrifices, and there were a lot of them. No, the burnt offering was first mentioned when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son, Isaac, as a burnt offering. Abraham gave his future back to God and put it into God's keeping or guardianship. And that's what this message of sacrifice is. That's what I'm talking about today. It is giving our future back to God and putting it in God's keeping, where he guards it and fulfills it. And Abraham showed mighty faith by believing that God would provide the sacrifice and bring forth a spectacular future upon the earth for all the families of the earth to be blessed. You see, Abraham's future was the life of his son Isaac. In fact, that was our future as well. And he'd been promised that he would have this son. He was promised that he would be the father of nations and all the families would be blessed through him. And he went through so much of a journey with mistakes and his own unbelief and his own doubts. And he finally was given this son. Sarah had Isaac. And it seemed like, well, that's it, story over. And then God says, I want you to give me your future. Commit it back to me. What an ask. So Abraham takes Isaac up to the mountain of Moriah to be sacrificed. And they're talking about the sacrifice. And Isaac noticed that there's no sacrifice. Abraham hasn't got any lamb with him. Then Isaac hears the words of his father, Abraham, saying, and this is in Genesis 22, God will provide a lamb for the offering, my son. And that's the way it works. God provides the lamb for the offering. And then God said to Abraham, now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, God himself, our Father God, also called upon himself to make that same sacrifice of his only son and bring about the ultimate blessed future for all of us. And Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice to bring about that unsurpassable future for us to share with him here and now and for eternity. There was no other way. And when Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 for us to offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, and when we say yes in faith to God regarding sacrifice, he provides the lamb. God will provide a lamb for the offering, my son. The Father provides the sacrifice, his son, and our future in God comes to pass this way. Our burnt offering for us is giving our future into God's good will for us. Jesus becomes the completion of every task we commit to him in this way. And that's why Paul was able to write to Timothy and say, 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "This is why I'm willing to suffer as I do, but I'm not ashamed or disappointed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep or to guard that which I have committed unto him until that day." In other words, he is able to keep that and bring it to pass, the fulfillment of it, because I've committed it to him. So we sacrifice when we put our hearts and minds and bodies into the appropriate hard yards that allow us to go forward in life. Now, it says offer your bodies a living sacrifice, but that's a relative thing. Some bodies can do more than other bodies. But it's not the ability of the body, it is the availability of the body and all that goes with the body. If we persevere patiently with our hearts and souls and minds, if there's a willingness to do that part, to do the appropriate hard yards, and that can be slow work, but God does the quick work, the supernatural work. I will provide the lamb for the sacrifice, my son. This is the supernatural work that brings about his result, the best future. We say yes to the offering of the sacrifice, and just as with Abraham, the lamb is provided and the work is completed. We then rest in our faith and trust and hope in him, Jesus, and he takes us into our future, his future for us and his future for those that we are making sacrifice for, as we include them in our prayer, in our care, as we offer ourselves to God on behalf of others. That is rebuilding the altar. I believe that is where the church is going to. It's not going back. It's a reset, but it's going forward. Certain things will be left behind. Certain things will be done in a new way. But one thing has to be established and rebuilt first, and that's this altar of sacrifice. Then, yes, the temple, however God wants to rebuild that, as his people being one together, as a home for him, for his presence, and for the witness of God alive upon the earth through Jesus, in his people, the body of Christ that is being offered to him. There's a beautiful story in the Gospel of John. It's also in Matthew 14, John chapter 6 and Matthew 14. And Jesus has been feeding the 5,000, and he's done the miracles and they're all tired. But he says to the disciples, "You go across to the other side of the lake in the boat," and he goes up into a mountain by himself, alone to pray. And it gets dark. And the disciples are down in the sea. They get in the boat and the waves come and the wind blows and a great storm starts to come. And Jesus is not there. He's up on the mountain. But they were told to get in the boat and row. They had to do the hard yards. And it says when they'd rowed about 3 or 4 miles, and that's a long row, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. And it says that they willingly received him. In other words, they said, they embraced him. They said, "Come into the boat." Now, immediately he came into the boat. It says the boat was at the other side where they were going. Jesus completed the journey. He is the supernatural element. We do the hard yards. They rode the hard mile. But the moment we invite Jesus into the boat, we're there. We're in the boat rowing at the moment, and there can be storms and winds. But when Jesus comes to us, when we reach out and say, "I'm committing this to you, Lord. I'm putting my future, the completion of this journey in your hands," the moment We embrace him in that situation. He completes the work. Then we rest in our faith and trust and our hope in him, and our future is re-established. Let's rebuild the altar together, and let's approach each situation that's difficult and see how we're being called, perhaps in that, from the Lord to offer the sacrifice of ourselves for a better future, for those that we care for, that we pray for, that we are aware of, that need that supernatural work of a new future in their lives. God bless you all. Amen.